Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Heber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Leibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiasts and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, bus people. I'm glad to see a good crowd. Beautiful day here in Florida, as always, except for Saturday. We got a festival coming up Saturday, and it's supposed to rain. But what can I say? It always seems to work that way. Last week was a beautiful Saturday, and there was no festival. I'm back after 2 weeks. I was out of town and doing some bottling and stuff, which I am in the middle of now, doing bottling. I just bottled some Chardonnay. Couple days ago, I'm doing my starfruit wine tomorrow, and I'll be busy doing a lot of stuff over this month, trying to get the shelves replenished and trying to get everything in the bottles. So if you're around the area, stop on by, and I can show you my little small operation. Everything's very hands-on, but it gets it done, and that's what counts. So we'd be happy to show you what we do there. 2 weeks. Wow, it seems like long time. I've missed all of you out there. Thanks for coming back and joining us again. Thanks for being listeners, and hope you haven't went through any withdrawals without having All About Wine in your email boxes or on your iPods or anything else you happen to have. Got a lot of stuff to pass on to you now. I got 2 weeks of info to pass on. Looking at getting some guests. Everybody's busy. I've tried to get a hold of some people to get on the program. And bad time of year. I'm just getting a lot of people saying, oh, I can't do it right now. You know, give me a call in a couple of weeks and things like that. So hopefully, by the end of the month, middle end of the month, we will start getting back to our patterns of guests. Mike is not with us again tonight, as you've already heard. He is still on a late shift at his real job and can't join us. So that's too bad. I just was communicating with him a little bit, and he doesn't know when the shift's going to change, but he's looking forward to coming back. He said he misses it also. We need to get some old guests back on here, too. I'm going to start checking on the possibilities of getting, well, Irene King should be coming up soon here. We're going to have to get her on. October is always our month where we do our haunted wineries, and we will get a hold of Joy Neighbors, who is our resident haunted winery and haunted buildings and everything expert. She will get her back on in October and find out how she's doing in her businesses and everything in her new area of Illinois that she's in, or Indiana, Illinois. Plus, there's some others I'm going to check on, too. So we got a lot of stuff coming up here. I might have to take another Thursday off coming up over the next, you know, couple, 3 weeks here. I am not sure. Depends on how my body is going. If I can keep up with it and get on top of it, I should be good. We got a big festival coming up at the winery the first Saturday in October. October the 5th, is it? Engineer? October 3rd. October the 3rd is our Bet Fest. That's coming up first Saturday in October. Big one. We have over 70 vendors. So we have lots and lots of different people there. We have a lot of rescue groups, pet rescue groups and stuff. So we are looking forward to that. Patriot Day tomorrow. Fly your flags. Get them out there on the shelf. Sunday, Grandparents Day. Jimmy Carter signed Grandparents Day into law back when he was in office. And it's now celebrated in lots of countries around the world. It's expanded to lots of countries around the world. The United States took the first step to celebrate grandparents. If you have a grandparent, get a hold of them. Tell them, hey, text them. A lot of grandparents don't understand text, but whatever it takes, be sure to say hey to grandparents, because, you know, without the chain starting there, it wouldn't have passed down to where you are now. So be sure you get in touch with your grandparents and say hello. Rosh Hashanah begins on the 14th. So we got a lot of stuff happening this weekend, the least of which is not our festival coming up on Saturday. So, again, Patriots Day, Grandparents Day, Rosh Hashanah on Monday. A lot of things for the weekend and going into next week. A lot of topics, a lot of things to talk to you about now. I've got weeks of catch-up to do here. And so I'm going to try to squeeze as much as I can into the next 53 minutes and let you know, fill you out on different things, all that. Again, as always, if you want to call into the show, 646-727-3235. And I will be happy to put you in the green room, go talk to you for a minute, and bring you on the show. And we can talk for as long as you want about wine. Remember, this topic, all about wine. Let's start out with a little bit of real estate. And as always, I need real estate music, but I don't have any, but that's okay. If you hear any of these that you are interested in, if you hear any of these that you want to find out more about, email me. And I will be happy to pass on information to you so that you can contact it and get yourself into the wine business on this end of it. Boy, my notes here are really messed up. Wow. First one here. California Winery Vineyard Brand. Premium California Winery. A vineyard. An established brand. It doesn't say what it is, but if you're interested, you can. I'm sure they will be more than happy to discuss it with you. 90-plus scores on it. Scalable. Established DTC and national distribution. A-plus location. Real estate assets. The assets are from over 20 million, less than 50 million. Buyer profile is required, so if you're just searching into it, they're not going to talk to you. If you're interested, they will. If you are interested, get a hold of me. I will pass on the contact information to you. Winery B&B Tasting Room and Vineyard. I think we've talked about this before. 20-plus acres, 14-acre vineyard, two-story custom home in the middle of all the wineries and tasting rooms. This is in Napa. $1.95 million. Again, get in touch. I will contact you with that. We have an exclusive offering on Shenandoah Road. 10 acres available in the southwest corner of Shenandoah Road and Shenandoah Schoolhouse Road across from Steiner Road. Offers are now being accepted. Info, information, all that. Get in touch with me and I will pass it on to you. So, doesn't look like wineries or anything, just land. The next one, San Joaquin Vineyard. 43 acres. The vineyard is on a drip irrigation. That is listed at $1,290,000. Just a vineyard. But you figure you can get yourself 5 ton an acre. And depending on the grapes, $200-$300 a ton. So it could end up paying for itself year after year. Napa Winery for sale. A state-of-the-art, complete 10,000 square foot winery. 30,000 gallon permit, 24 acres, 12 plus acres are planted in Cabernet Sauvignon. It also offers tours and tastings. It has a commercial kitchen, 4,000 square feet outdoor patio. Pretty cool. Napa, no price. Here's those of you who don't want to relocate to California and want to stay in the Midwest. We got a Midwest winery for sale. One of the finest new wineries in the Midwest, located in Illinois' first AVA, the Shawnee Hills, established in 2008, expanded twice since opening, part of a vibrant wine trail association in a successful and growing tourist area. Wow, that sounds like fun. Again, in Illinois. I'll have to ask Joy when we get her on the show if she's familiar with this. Vineyard land lease, price reduction. 30 plus or minus acres of cleared flat land for long-term lease in prime Russian River, Green Valley, Appalachians of Sonoma Valley. No price listed, but it says it is cheaper. Pristine Placerville Vineyard Estate. 24.5 acres with two parcels, 9.4 acre vineyard, planted in Chardonnay, Riesling, Cabernet, and Merlot, custom home with a pond, ag building and storage, farm equipment included, $739,000. That's reasonable, really. Anything you get in California for $739,000, and this is a custom home, but it includes everything else. That is really, really a good price. Last one we have for you here is a winery vineyard estate with a B&B, bed and breakfast. Successful boutique winery and bed and breakfast combination at the gateway to Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks. 20 acres, plus or minus 10 acres of unique varietals, not listed what type is unique. All permits in place allowing for food service and special events. Ample water, which is a big plus in California also. Active wine club and tasting room. Award-winning wines. Turnkey operation with all fixtures and inventory. Consulting winemaker interested in continuing. Great opportunity for a career change or a couple wanting to strike out on their own. And that is North County Properties, so that's up in north of Sonoma, Mendocino, that area up there. And those are our wine listings, our wine real estate listings for this month. Again, no music. I really need to talk to Mike about getting us some music on this stuff. More information for you here. Odds and ends that I found that I want to share with you, as I always do. This is out of Beverage Magazine. A new story to tell. Beringer's Founders Estate debuted new packaging. The new packaging is inspired by the heritage of Beringer, dating back to its founding in 1876. As the new package hits shelves this summer, shoppers will see accompanying point-of-sales materials highlighting Beringer's Founders Estate as a presenting sponsor of Food Network's Chopped Grill Masters. It premiered back in July, so it's, you know, it's five episodes. It's over now. Berenger's Custom Chopped Open Your Basket vignette will appear on TV as well as in 500 Kroger stores. So, new thing, Berenger's. If you see the new bottle on there, that's new Berenger's bottle. There you go. Baseball, hot dogs, and wine. Peanuts, beer, and hot dogs long ago solidified their places in baseball culture. The Baltimore Orioles, along with Major League Baseball, are adding red wine to the list. The wine is described as a richly textured Cabernet with ripe berry aromas sourced from Sweetwater and Altaloma, two notable vineyards in California's Central Coast. This is according to the report from the Baltimore Sun. On MLB.com, baseball clubs are highlighting team-branded wines. Baltimore fans can purchase a three-pack of Oriole Club Series 2013 Central Coast Cabernet Sauvignon by wine company Plata Wine Partners for $59.99. Currently, MLB.com has 19 of the 30 teams with wines. In the American League East, the Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees offer multiple types of wine, while the Orioles have one. I'm going to have to check into that. Let me leave myself a note. You know, that's something that I just don't know. I mean, I am really curious how many baseball clubs have wine offered, and what are they offering? I would think, and not knowing, but I would think that the Chicago Cubs might have wine simply because our manager, who I say are the Tampa Bay Rays manager, Joe Maddon, was real big into wine. And when he went to Chicago last winter, you would think that maybe they might do it. But the Rays didn't do it either. I tried to get Joe on the program too, by the way, and the offices wouldn't even let me talk to him and see if he was interested. They all said, well, I don't think it would work for us. Well, why not? You're trying to promote the ball clubs. That would be a good way to do it. So let me have a second here. Okay, check. Baseball, wine, sales at all cities, ballparks. Okay, there we go. And I'll see if I can't find something under that. So, okay, a new rosé for the table. Union Wine Company out of Tolleton, Oregon, has a new wine, released its first rosé wine, Underwood Rosé. It's a blend of Pinot Gris, Syrah, and Pinot Noir, with fruit sourced from Oregon's Willamette Valley. The wine features tasting notes of strawberry, watermelon, and peach, so says the company. The 13% alcohol by volume wine is available. That's high for rosé, I think. It just seems high for a rosé. By volume wine is available in both bottles and cans. The Underwood can. We've talked about that before, and it is available in both bottles and cans. And it is available online and at select retailers nationwide for suggested retail price of $12 for a 750 milliliter bottle or $24 for a four-pack of cans. Now, the four-pack of cans, how big are the cans, I wonder? Can I read that? From what I can see from the picture, 375 milliliter cans. So that would be, yeah, about right. So four-pack, you're looking at two bottles, so that's the price, $24. So there you go. Available now. You internet, unionwinecompany.com, if you want to go through them and order the wine. Constellation Brands of Victor, New York, announced that it has agreed to acquire the Meiomi wine brand from Cooper Crane. The transaction is expected to close this month. So Constellation Brands, one of the biggest in the country, is getting bigger. But, you know, what do we expect? Most of those big ones continue to expand. All right. Now, I've got some other information to pass on to you here. These are things that I've missed sharing with you since I have been indisposed. So just some more bits and pieces of info. This I found very interesting. California by the numbers. This is, let me pull it up here. California's year in wine, by any measure, it says, was impressive. Even with the drought and all the early bud breaks and early harvest and all that stuff, which is the earliest drought or earliest bud break and earliest harvest in memory, they're saying, because it's just taken them so long. Still the industry is expanding and doing great and all that. There are some impressive numbers coming out of California, like the AVAs, the North American Viticultural Areas, American Viticulture Area. California has 15 new ones this past year. They've granted status to 15 areas. The new AVAs crisscross the state from Mount Shasta, the Manton Valley AVA, to Malibu, which has faced a drought-inspired ban on vineyard development just weeks after it was designated a new AVA. I think I mentioned the new Malibu AVA to you back when they did it. Well, they put a ban on vineyard development because of the drought. The most sweeping Appalachian action was centered in Paso Robles, which was given 11 geographically significant subdivisions, which actually just, you know, crisscross all the area there. If you've never been to Paso Robles, in the center of the state there, south of Monterey, northeast of Bakersfield, north of Hearst Castle, actually, if you're familiar with it on the west coast there. Paso Robles is located on Highway 101. I'm don't quote me on that. I may be wrong right now. But it is, when you're going down through it on the highway there, it's just sort of like there it is and there it goes. You can really see the Denny's and a few areas around there, but you're through it pretty quickly. But there's wineries all over the place there. If you go east of the highway, you find three or four real, real big wineries sitting out there. Big acreage and all that. Underground caves dug out on one of them. A lot of stuff there. I think that has been designated as specific AVA, and I don't know what the name of it is. Then you go west, and you start running into all sorts of hills, and I mean lots of little hills and mountains and stuff. And the microclimates are overwhelming in that area. Some of them areas face south, some face north, some face east, some face west. Each of them giving you a microclimate. You have a taller hill that's shielding a shorter hill. You pull up into this entrance to this area, and there will be a sign there pointing to the left and listing 8 wineries, and one pointing to the right listing 12. And you drive around these roads and stuff, and the wineries are small, very small acreage out in front and all that. But I am sure every one of these has been designated an AVA. Like it says, 11 geographically significant subdivisions in Paso Robles. So the cool western side of it, because of the influence of the water coming in, makes a big difference. The eastern side of the road there, big difference there. So I need to check out a map. Let me make another note of this. Paso Robles AVAs. Paso Robles AVAs. All right. Now, So 11 is a huge number of appellations to become familiar with, and the growers are delighted. They, you know, have their own little ones. Establishing a reputation takes time. Jason Hass of Tablas Creek is in an AVA called the Adelaida District, Paso Robles. So there's one right there. The regions all have a little bit of differences, and they all have a little bit of different weather, climates, and all that, and soils and things because of where they are. So it reflects in the wine. But California, 15 new AVAs this past year. 10% is estimated the number of female winemakers in California. Now you say, oh, 10%, but that is significant. That's a lot of different, women winemakers. Napa this past, I'm trying to think of what date it was. I can't remember. But a few months ago, Napa had a women wine symposium where they had women from around the world. A friend of mine from Australia, in fact, she was a guest on the program, went to it, flew out to Napa from Australia and came up. And she said quite a few people did come up from Australia and New Zealand and all that for the symposium. But it's expanding. It's still a low number, but it refers only to head winemakers. 1 in 10, 10% head winemakers. You know, women still are in supportive roles, assistants, enologists, laboratory and vineyard managers, financial officers, administrators. All those positions are filled with women. A lot of the wineries that I deal with and people I talk to in California on a regular basis, a lot of them are in those positions, women. The American Association of Wine Economists lists how many women are the winemakers, but the attitudes have changed, and the women winemakers seem to really establish good ground. And if a winery loses the winemaker, a female winemaker, they tend to hire another one. So it's just a pattern that's starting to be established there. The number of grape varieties grown in California, this is fascinating. 117 different grape varieties of the 615,000 acres of wine grapes in California. Nearly half of them, or 305,600, devoted to Cabernet Sauvignon, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Merlot, and Zinfandel. So almost half of all of it. But yeah, it's still, though, that's annual acreage report. There's a category of other, which is white and red. And that other acreage in 2014 stands at more than 40,000 acres. So, and, you know, that's what counts for the 117 different varieties in the state. A lot of it's into bulk production, though. You don't see the wine sitting on the shelf, odd ones. They're used as fillers and different things. But they're also finding customers for them out there, starting to pop up in different wines and all that from California. They are love to take the alternative wines, different winemakers. For example, Chris Brockway of Brock Cellars in Berkeley says he likes using different wines. He worked at DeRoe Cellars in Hollister, and he said they were using grapes like Negrette and Cabernet Pfeiffer alongside their Zinfandel. And he said it just people just didn't understand those grapes and all, but they used it for blends, and so people didn't question. A search for Gamay Noir, for example, has led him to the Napa Gamay, and which used to be Napa Gamay. I don't know if you're familiar. I remember that years ago, Napa Gamay, but the Gamay Noir. There are certain pockets of, and I'm going to destroy this name, Valdigue, V-A-L-D-I-G-U-I-E. Pockets of Valdigue remain all over California, too. A lot of it older vines. Makes a bright purple, peppery red that some people like. It's cheaper, but it's got a crown out there. The California wineries are saying that they're not hearing people say, I only drink Cabernet anymore, because they're starting to find others like the Valdigue and Picpoul, P-I-C-P-O-U-L, Picpoul, Picpoul, which are under $25, and they make for an interesting grape. You'd have to go to these small wineries to find these, searching, and that would be what it would take to find that. We all know California's in a drought. We've talked about it here. You hear about it on the news and all that. But the drought has inevitably called attention to the water use of California's commercial enterprises, particularly the wine industry. None of the water use, of course, is aimed at substation. Reports indicate that roughly same amount of produces. Well, let's see, they say figures up left, and I have no figures up left here, no anything that shows any of this stuff. Let me do this and see if I can find what it's saying. Nope, nothing's there. So let me expand this back out and see what it is. Water footprint refers to global practices and somewhat disputable. Reports say indicate that roughly the amount of produces a gallon of wine, and Wines and Vine, an industry publication of winemaking, reports that it takes 6 gallons of water to make 1 gallon of wine. Now, here it says 29 gallons of water to produce a glass of wine is what the headline of this is. None of this water use, of course, like I said, is aimed at transubstantiation. In addition to irrigation, sometimes they don't require any. The figures also represent a great deal of necessary non-irrigative use, such as cleaning the tanks, the barrels, the hoses, the pumps, the services, and all that, to keep it bug-free and pest-free and free of dust and all sorts of different things like that. So you've got to use water for that. That's one of the things I've been doing over the last couple of weeks, doing some major cleaning of everything. I always do before I start a new bottling. I mean, you spend more time cleaning sometimes than you do bottling, because you want to be sure there's nothing that's picked up and thrown into the wine. They say for the past two decades, water has been employed in another slightly less significant winemaking pursuit. And that's winemakers routinely leave fruit on the vine after the peak of ripeness in an effort to concentrate flavors, and are left with dried out grapes and skyrocketing sugar levels. These are corrected by adding water to the fermentation bins. So you let the sun dry out your grapes and then you put the water back in. How much water depends on the variety and what you're trying to do in the first place, but it takes as much as 25 gallons to bring the potential alcohol in a ton of grapes back from 15.7% to 14%. With the trend of lower alcohols in California, the practice of adding water is on the downswing, which may end because of the water-saving initiatives and all that stuff. So 29 gallons is at the high end to produce a glass of wine, but you can see where they're getting those numbers. Number of wineries in California. I always thought it was shy of 4,000. I've been quoting 3,900 and some odd for the past year. New report here says that there are 4,285 wineries in California. Wow. According to the Wine Institute, this is the number of bonded wineries in the state. And that's what you figure, bonded wineries. That's how we talk in the business. The figure is double the number recorded a decade ago and three times the count reported in the year 2000. So 3 times more than what we had in 2000. The value of retail sales in 2014 was $24.6 billion. That's up 6.7% in volume and value and 4.4% in volume. Double from the year 2000. Even exports continue to rise. Exports in 2014 were up 46.4 million cases with a retail value of $1.5 billion. California is clearly the leader, moving in the right direction with what they're doing and all that. You would be hard-pressed, and I've mentioned this before, but it's very true, you would be hard-pressed to find any state, and in fact, I think every state, wineries in every state do supplement with some California juice from somewhere. It's just all over the country. So the drought is not just affecting California, but it's also affecting other areas because not every state, in fact, very few of the states in the country, have enough vineyards planted to supply the needs of the wineries. So California is filling that void. The future, they're not sure if what's going to happen, but the wine remains one of the great fuels of enjoyment in California. It is there and it keeps on doing it. So there are some numbers on California. That's just, it's absolutely amazing. This is as of the end of August of this year. So don't foresee that changing anytime soon, except to maybe go up on everything. We have talked about smoke, and I have to tell you this. Smoke in Washington State was a major problem a couple of weeks ago. Again, I wasn't on, so I wasn't able to pass this on, but burning fires in the west side of the Cascades cause harmful air qualities for residents in southwest Washington and the Willamette Valley. The air quality had gone from moderately bad to completely unsafe for people, infants and elderly and those with breathing problems. More than 1 million acres of wildfires were in Oregon and Washington, and this was settling, a haze was settling over different areas. Portland, a couple of weeks ago, had such thick smoke that you can see the downtown skyscrapers from the east side of the Willamette River. It didn't disrupt flights, though, but Portland has the worst air quality of any major city in the country at the time because of the smokes. Grapes in the area, they're waiting and seeing what's going to happen, but it's looks like, and a later report comes out, and I saw and said that it is not affecting the grapes yet. A lot of them are just ready to be harvested, so you're not putting a lot of smoke into them. So maybe, just maybe, it's looking good on that. Let's see. Another issue here. A panel is looking at limiting the number of wineries that can be opened in Napa Valley. They're saying that they are pretty well packed right now, and there is issues with the water and all that, and tourism. The 17-member panel, which includes winery executives, environmentalists, city officials, have all came up with seeking to keep the number of wineries in Napa Valley down. I mentioned this before, but it's ready to pass. They're trying to rein in the traffic and congestion and all the stuff that's going on there. If you've ever been to Napa Valley, it's busy all the time. And they're not going to expand the road, because if they expand the road, that's going to cut into vineyards. And they're not going to be able to purchase it because it's so expensive. The vineyards and the land there is so expensive. So they're not going to be able to expand any of the roads. They're stuck with what they've got. So The panel agrees that new wineries would not be able to store or truck out wastewater, with exceptions for temporary emergency cases. Most wineries have their own wastewater system, with only a couple dozen relying on trucks. Let's see, where was the number? I just saw the number. As of March, Napa County, and that's not just Napa Valley, but Napa County had 467 wineries listed. 467 in one county. Oh, my gosh. They're tripping over each other. So half of the permits are saying that that they're getting it has been from new wineries, and other half of permits they've been seeking from existing wineries wanting to amend their permits. So the panel, it looks like it may vote to stop expansion of any wineries in Napa or any expansion in Napa because they are being overwhelmed by traffic stuff. 467 wineries in Napa. Wow. Our Napa County. I'm going to make a note of that. I want to bring that up next time I'm telling somebody about Napa. Okay. Now, so I wanted to share that with you. Let's see. Let's move on here. Here we go. This is something. Where am I? Okay. The smoke taint in Washington, I just was talking to you about the fires and all that. They are monitoring the smoke taint there on the grapes. That disappeared. Okay, there it's back. With the fires burning in Washington, nearby states and all that, and Oregon, Idaho, a great deal of smoke has been all over the place. They say that smoke can, in fact, taint wine grapes. Smoke residue contains high concentrations of volatile phenols, such as glycol and eugenol. Smoke taint has been found in juice and wine made from grapes. As the glycosylated forms of these phenols tend to accumulate on skin, and the mesocarp, or the pulp of the berry, then they are released during alcoholic and malolactic fermentations, causing the wine to become unpleasantly. Whoa! You know, I'm looking at this site, and all of a sudden, they started to throw out all this other stuff in the background, and I don't want to hear this. And it's an advertisement on this site, and I hate it when they do that. Oh, come on, you're done. All right, there we go. But then it put me onto something else. Oh, come on, let's go back. I hate it when they do that. The site never does that. But when I click on something from the site, it takes me to something that has that junk on it, and it stepped all over me on this talking here. All right, so the wine with the smoke taint is a pharmaceutical nose and taste, dirty, an ashtray, medicinal, campfire, or burnt. These are all different things that you can get from wines that have smoke taint on it. That's the problem. As of right now, everything looks pretty good. There's no problem. And a couple of days after this article came, they said that they've tested them and they are good. There's no real problem with smoke taint on the California wines. So that's a good thing. Or not California, Washington, Willamette wines. So that's a good thing. We hope it does. So if you detect any of those types of things in your wine from Oregon, Washington, or something, even California, it is smoke taint. Climatologists are saying do not count on the strong El Nino that is predicted to stop the severe drought conditions. There is a best 50-50 chance of having a wetter winter, but even with the strong El Nino that is predicted, it might not happen. The record high temperatures and record low snowpack in California has resulted in it. So five of the lowest 10 snowpacks on record have occurred in the last decade, including the last 4 years. And this is the key to the water in California as a new water year starts October 1st and in September 30th. It's a potential of having a fifth year of severe drought. And they're looking at past El Ninos, and the conditions are currently forecast to provide little guidance into what to expect. Of the 7 years since the 1950 with similar El Nino southern oscillation, signals three were wet years and one was average and three were dry. You know, we're hearing all this good stuff about how the El Nino could stop or help mitigate the drought in California, but not really. Past years were cooler than temperatures we're experiencing now out there, and the snowpack will have to jump up and for it to materialize and help anything. So, as is anything with Mother Nature, the unpredictable nature of things like the drought and El Nino really might not have any effect at all. Let's see here. Oh, this was interesting too. 10 up-and-coming wine regions in the world. I'm not going to tell you about each one completely, but I just want to pass this on to you. It was an interesting list. The first one, Moldova. Winemaking in Moldova dates back more than 5,000 years. Moldovan wines and Moldova in general has basically flown under the radar. Located between Romania and Ukraine, a little small area, and it's puts out... excuse me for 1 second. Excuse me, I erupted in a sneeze there. And let me get a sip of my Chardonnay. This is my Chardonnay I just bottled the other day. Let's see, where are we? Moldova. Indigenous wines like the white wines like the Rara Negra and Plevy, which, again, I've never seen, to Sauvignon Blancs and Chardonnays. They also have Cabernets, Gamays, and Pinot Noir. So these are all in Moldova, one of the up-and-coming wine regions. Sicily, Italy. Now, we all know about Italian wines, but they're saying, though Italy's beautiful southernmost island has been making wine for more than five millennia, it's just recently started to get rave reviews from all over the place. They have a DOC Sicilia on some, which is their demarcation of fine wines. And it's becoming, turning out some big, powerful reds, like the Nero di Avola. And they also have whites that tend to give a minerality to it, called the Grillo and Catarato. So these are things to look for from Sicily and Italy. Tasmania, Australia. Some of the Australians' most vibrant new wines are coming out of the country's overlooked island state of Tasmania. It's separated from the mainland by 240 kilometers straight. It has a southern latitude and its cool maritime climate. It's just completely different than anywhere else in Australia. They're coming out with some crisp, dry Rieslings and Sauvignon Blancs, as well as some very good Chardonnays. And the warmer southern Tasmania, around the Derwent, Huon, and Coal River valleys, they're coming out with some great Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir, and Shiraz. there's only 160 producers across the island, so if you go there, there's a good chance that you're going to have a lot more personal time with the winemakers and growers and all that. Swartland, South Africa. Now, this has been a grain-producing region for years and all that, but now it's the wine-producing districts of Stellenbosch, Paarl, and Franschhoek. And I probably destroyed that name. The regions have emerged as some really great wine areas. The lush, they're saying the lush Plumy Pinot Noir Saison blends are great. Chenin Blancs, Syrahs, and a lot of the different blends are coming out of there are really fantastic. The region has jumped up because of independent producers. The Swartland Independent Producers, it was an organization founded in 2010, and it has really expanded and grown and became quite good because of that. Michigan, here we go. Akin to Sonoma Valley's landscape 20 years ago, Michigan wine country is largely undeveloped. Just 100 or so small to medium-sized wineries and less than 3,000 acres. But it is coming out with highly undervalued regions and wines. The Livigno and Old Mission Peninsulas are fantastic. Check out the semi-dry German Alsatian varietals like Rieslings, and which is the most widely planted there, Gewürztraminer and Traminette. And they also do Sauvignon Blanc, Vejo Verde, Pinot Grigio, and Chardonnay. So the Michigan area. We all have heard of Michigan areas too. I mean, they've got, you know, fruit wines up there are very popular, but you know, grapes are good too. Francicorta, Italy. Sparkling wines like Champagne, Italy's Francicorta is both a geographical region and a wine. The wine is made using the method Champagne, same grape varietals as Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Blanc. The Francicorta remains distinctly Italian. Creamy textures and just the wonderful aromas and stuff. It also produces still wines, Merlots, Pinot Grigios and stuff. But look for it. Franciacorta, 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 I think it is. I may be wrong because I don't speak Italian, but I think it's Franciacorta. It should be on the bottle. It's a region and a thing. Becca Valley, Lebanon. Now, here's something that would probably surprise you. Becca Valley, Lebanon. The Becca Valley is billed as the oldest wine-producing region in the world. It's said to have been cultivated there as early as 725 B.C. Lebanese wines are still known as to the mainstream wine consumer. But that's starting to change. The recent years are starting to come out with some people have been trained in Burgundy and Bordeaux and stepping in there and trying to do wines there. Very fertile valley, 900 meters above the sea level, so you're going to get some very plush red blends. Cabernet, Syrah, Merlot mixes, and some light floral muscats and vernets. Different producers are looking at local grapes like the Arenaroa, the Albedea, and the Merwa, which I probably destroyed those names too. Walla Walla Valley, Oregon, and Washington. Always noted as decent areas there too, but they are often overlooked because of Oregon's Willamette Valley and also the areas around there. Walla Walla Valley spans both the states of Oregon and Washington, and it's one of the fastest growing areas. It's dry to semi-arid to cool and moist. Wide range of grape varietals are coming out of there. Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, which is one of my favorites. Real smoky, earthy, rich wines because of the soils and stuff. Syrahs are becoming popular on in that area also. Oops. Well, what happened there? I didn't want to do that. I just getting ready to read the next one. The thing changed again on me. I hate it when it does that. Next one, Moravia, Czech Republic. Czech Republic is better known for its beers. The easternmost province of Moravia, I think it's Moravia, Moravia, just north of the Austrian border, is producing some great white wines. Sandy soil, cool climate, zesty Rieslings, and herbaceous whites like Müller Thurgau, Grüner Veltliner, and Moravian Muscat. Further east from there, they're also doing some Pinot Noirs and Portugieser Blauer, made from Australian grapes of the same name. Boy, I'd love to try some of these things. That would be so fascinating to be able to try some of these ones that we never see or never hear about. Going to spend some time in some wine store and see if we can find them. And then the last one, Suave, Italy. From the 1970 to 1990, Suave was Italy's most exported white wine. It even surpassed Chianti in the United States in sales at one point. Suave Nova and all this stuff. But now it's coming together. It's coming back. It is on the upswing. They're making some more complex wines and some more richer, fuller types of wines as opposed to the ones that, remember, they're using a grape-made new name, or a wine made from the Garganegia grapes. And they're making sparkling Suaves, Sparkling Spumante, and all sorts of different ones. So Suave in Italy is back again. We're all familiar with it in the past, but we got it. They're saying it's up and coming now. So there we go. A lot of information for you tonight. A lot of things passed on. I've got a lot more stuff I want to get caught up on, a lot of other things, but I'm going to let you go for tonight. I am looking forward to tomorrow. I am actually seeing a chiropractor because I've got a sciatica nerve that has been driving me crazy, and it's hurting a lot. And so I am actually going to a chiropractor tomorrow and see if I can't get myself feeling better. I'm looking so much forward to that because I'm sick of this pain. Take care of yourselves. Oh, wait a minute. We got a festival this Saturday, so let me. Here we go. I'll be back in a minute 15.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida State's Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And there we go. Boy, these timing on these things are way off on my my studio board here, my switchboard. Everything's off. But there you go. This Saturday is supposed to rain. I'm afraid it's going to. But still, come out. You can always come out to the winery. Check us out and visit. Talk to me. Let me know you listen to the program. I always love to hear that. and sign up for e-letter. You can always sign up for e-letter online, too. And we will look forward to seeing all of you next week. Thank you for joining us again. Be safe. Drink lots of wine. And have yourself a good week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.